Well, for people living in many parts of eastern Australia, this summer has been a wet one. Increased falls from the La Nina weather pattern have filled dams, rejuvenated the land, and it's hoped the water will eventually flow down into catchments further west. It's a rare and critical chance to replenish the Murray-Darling Basin, but it's feared this opportunity could be lost if water making its way down the system isn't managed properly. Nancy Notson reports.
When the skies darken on the east coast, the anticipation is felt further inland. La Niña brings with it a vital opportunity to revitalise the Murray-Darling Basin and critically get water out onto its floodplains.
Where we find river red gums and coolabah and black box, you know, the frogs, the native fish species, the invertebrates, the plants, the water birds.
Professor Richard Kingsford is the director at the Centre for Ecosystem Science at the University of New South Wales.
And it's really those big floods that can provide enough of a boom for years to come. And if we don't have those floods, then we don't have healthy rivers, essentially.
For years, the rivers have been plagued by blue-green algae outbreaks and, more recently, catastrophic fish kills in the Darling and Namoi rivers. The floodplains are similarly in poor shape. Ed Fessy is a floodplain grazier near the town of Brewarrina in northwest New South Wales and relies on floodwaters to grow pasture for his animals.
The last flood we had was in 2012 and was really substantial. And then post that flood, we had very little additional rain. It was an incredibly dry period of time. So yes, and we destocked completely during 2017 and 2018. And so we had, you know, 2 to 3 years there where there was no income at all.
Flooding can be affected by a number of factors. For example, there might not be enough rain to begin with, or too much water might be harvested from the floodplains for later use. Irrigators rely on harvesting the floodwaters. The practice has been regulated under the Murray-Darling Basin cap system for more than 25 years. But water policy is notoriously complicated, and floodplain harvesting has never been fully measured or accounted for. Graziers like Ed Fessy say changes over time have been stuck.
It has a very significant impact on a long-term average. So we'd get one flood every 2 or 3 years pre-development, and now it's sort of one beneficial flood every 7 or 8. And so there's been no sort of consideration or compensation for those that are affected downstream. There's been mutual exclusion of any other interests, be it the environment, the towns and communities downstream.
There is change on the horizon. Over the years, the Queensland government has tried to regulate floodplain harvesting, but there's concerns too much water is still being taken. And across the border in New South Wales, floodplain harvesting has gone above legal limits, so the state government is bringing in licensing and metering to rein it in. Professor Richard Kingsford from the University of New South Wales again.
There are some really good things going on in New South Wales, particularly in terms of regulating this area.
But he's concerned there isn't enough data to inform these decisions.
My biggest concern here is that major data that governments have for running the rivers and doing the modelling is for the main river stems, the main channels of rivers. It's where the gauges are. We have very little data on the floodplains. We don't even know the basic information as to where the large dams are and the channels and the levee banks and how much water is being diverted. And I think government owes it to the public to provide us with that basic data as opposed to modelling to give confidence for the sorts of decisions that are going to be made, which are going to really set the future in terms of these rivers and their floodplains.
The New South Wales government argues it has improved data and models to reflect best available information. It knows where the knowledge gaps are and is constantly adapting as new information comes in. And if it turns out they've allocated too much water in a licence, they'll be able to modify the licence. Professor Richard Kingsford isn't convinced.
If you're handing out all these licences of water and you give out too much water, how are you ever going to get that water back and take it back to those Murray-Darling Basin cap levels? And I don't think governments have explained how that's going to be done without great cost to community.
Claire Miller is the CEO of the New South Wales Irrigators Council, and she supports the state's new plan.
No model is perfect. Every model gets improved by new knowledge and new information and new science, and these models will be no different. They have been peer-reviewed and approved as fit for purpose by independent experts.
She believes the new rules will mean greater clarity for irrigators.
We feel that the 1st of July cannot come quick enough. We want floodplain harvesting licensed. We want it to be absolutely clear what the volumes are that people can take. And we want to see that that is going to result in higher flows running down those northern rivers and into the Barwon Darling and then down through that system. We support that. The current sort of legal limbo that we're in is not acceptable. You know, we need certainty.
Bob Stewart is the administrator of the Central Darling Shire Council in New South Wales, covering the towns of Wilcannia, Menindee, Ivanhoe and Whitecliffs.
I think the critical issue for the people of the Central Darling Shire is that they want to see a connected and healthy river as it flows right across the Central Darling Shire, and that means a river with water flowing in it. We certainly welcome the new floodplain harvesting regulations as they stand, but it doesn't go far enough in that it must address the whole catchment of the whole of New South Wales, and we would like to see the issues even extended beyond the New South Wales border into Queensland, because that's where the majority of our water does come from. And if we have massive floodplain harvesting, it means we get no flows down the river towards Menindee and then on to the junction of the Murray.
Emma Bradbury, the CEO of the Murray-Darling Association, agrees that New South Wales and Queensland need to align their policies.
What we are seeing is that the relationship between the legislation in Queensland and in New South Wales is not yet visibly consistent, reliable and equitable. And that is something that we need to ensure that we achieve.
Emma Bradbury says there's a lot of work being done to improve the situation. But with the opportunity to replenish floodplains with La Nina, crops, livelihoods and the entire ecosystem depend on it.
This is something that I see as a bit of a yard test or a pub test on it. If a piece of policy is too complex to communicate to a community and for them to find it reliable, then by definition it's not finished yet. Some of these concepts are complex, but it's important that we get it right.
That's CEO of the Murray-Darling Association, Emma Bradbury, entering that report from Nancy Notson. And as an additional note, a spokesperson for Queensland's Water Minister says his state works closely with New South Wales and the Commonwealth on water planning across the Murray-Darling Basin.